ba bum, ba bu ba bu ba ba, ba bu ba bu ba bum, ba bu ba bu ba bum,
ba bu ba bu ba bum. Why do you laugh every time you hear Ima Sumac?
This is a crazy song, but it's so festive. But then also, there's just so much going on. All the drumming, the instruments, all the different things going on, the horns. It just makes you laugh. That's what music should do, is elicit some kind of hopefully positive emotional response, and
yes,
it does it.
Jasmine, let this roll for a little bit. I'll control the sound because if you want to hear, she has like 8 different octaves, and you'll hear it in a second. And then the bossa nova kicks in even more, and then dun da dun da da da. Again, Pendulette and Teller use this for some opening.
Bump bump.
It has espionage.
It's got it all.
It has sexiness.
A little, I don't know, sort of a Latin flair.
Yes, little Gomez from the Addams Family.
I see someone like kind of sashaying in somehow at the horn.
I feel jazz hands coming on. But this is not the song that is in my head. I wish this was the song that was in my head. By the way, Bill Leff is back tomorrow for reals this time. I said that yesterday and I was just kidding. Only kidding. But Dane Neal is here today. And there's a song that I have in my head. All right, Ima, I'm done with you. You know how you get these earworms. You know how get these songs. There are some...
Anything from the Frozen soundtrack, at least, you know, has been...
Well, you're exposed to it.
Yes.
See, I'm not. And there was a very weird thing that happened at home. We were watching Netflix or something, and for some reason in my head, I just went, Freedom Rider, which is Traffic, I believe. And I just said, was somebody playing that at home? Because that popped into my head. And they said, no. I said, are you sure? No one turned their phone on? And everyone said, no, we didn't do it. And then there's a new show called Freedom Writer, WRITER, that was up on the screen. So I wonder if my brain went there and sang that. But I don't recall ever seeing that little ad for it.
So your brain's got kind of like an auto shuffle and play feature?
I guess so. So that happened last weekend, and it was just everybody said, you must have seen it. And I said, no, it's a little, like, you know, video box still that's on your Netflix thing. So I don't know. But this is the song that keeps coming up in my head, and it happens probably at least every other month. So it's a repetitive earworm that is driving me insane, and the only way to get rid of it is to share it with other people. So are you ready for what's in my head?
I'm ready.
This happens maybe once a month.
Okay.
This is my periodical song. Here it is. In my head, it doesn't start here, but the hook. Do you know what this is yet?
Inspector Gadget.
Yes! I can't get it out of my head.
Oh, this is a great one.
Inspector Gadget.
Woo-hoo. Oh, now you've done it. So what you've done is you've transmitted the song. Now I'll be Inspector Gadgeting all the way home.
It happens. It's a repetitive song in my head. I don't know what it is. Bill will attest to this. I have come in. Jasmine, I don't know if you recall me saying it, but sometimes I'm like, God, I can't get Inspector Gadget out of my head. Why does it keep coming back? Why is it that song?
I don't know. It could be a number of different songs, but there are some that are kind of strategically built, engineered, if you will, to be memorable, right? And it doesn't have to be even a certain type of music. It doesn't even have to be significant or important words in it. Just be the sounds and the way that it kind of hits you. And
yeah, but why this is like a repetitive thing that keeps coming back. It's not just, oh, Inspector Gadget's in my head today. Oh, Inspector Gadget was in my head last day.
He's back.
Yeah, he is back. I don't know what it is.
I'm kind of susceptible to commercials, you know, like some of the themes and the jingles from commercials. And here's the thing. This is one of the magic things about the internet and also kids. And I know we've talked about it where you know, people have access to the entire catalogs of bands, let's say, and so they can get into music that is not from their era, which wasn't the case when we were kids, right? It was like you were just whatever was on the radio, and if there happened to be a, you know, a station that specialized in it, you could do it. So the the kids brought up, they found somewhere on those freecreditreport.com commercials. If you remember those,
yes,
where there was like five or six of them where they were a band, you know, like, well, I'm married, my dream girl, I'm, you know, and yes, it's like freecreditreport.com, that's it. And so they have those all memorized now and they kind of have haunted us with it. And so now they're back just as they were, you know, whatever it was, like 10, 15 years ago, they were so popular. So like, I don't know. It's everything that's old is new again.
But those, okay, I get that because you hear it all the time. Cars for Kids, everybody, come on, we dream about that
song. But people
song.
Hate that.
I know, but it's memorable.
Great cause.
Okay, but if you're hearing something all the time, yes, it's always stuck in your head. I can't tell you, A, if I ever watched a whole episode of Inspector Gadget, or two, when I heard it recently.
Yeah, really, because... And I'm kind of there too. I am familiar that it was a cartoon series. I don't know that I've, and I understand the basic premise of Inspector Gadget, right? He's half guy, half robot.
I don't even know.
Okay, well I'll help you then. So
you seem to know him more than
I do. Well, he's got a trench coat on, right? And then they made a feature film with Matthew Broderick.
They did.
Yeah, I think it was poorly received. Apparently, by your reaction,
I didn't even know it was made.
Yeah, but so he has like extendable arms and all the kind of crazy hijinks that happen when you are a gadget. So he's an inspector, right? Crime fighter, trench coat, you know, crime solver, but then he's also a gadget. So he's got a lot of, you know, have like a table saw in his hand or maybe a helicopter off his head. You know, you can do a bunch of
that's crazy. Now I want to watch it.
Well, you know, I don't know.
I would love to have a helicopter helmet or hand.
I think it's just a fedora, you know, because he's got the trench coat thing. So I think his hat opens up and a helicopter moves.
Oh, I guess I do remember
that. He's
got
maybe springy feet. He can hop. I don't know. I think the possibilities are endless.
All right. There is a science to earworms. Everybody complains about earworms. No one does anything about them. British scientists have been studying the maddening effects when a pop song or crazy theme song, in my case, keeps popping into your head and won't depart. Turns out there are scientific, mathematical, and musical reasons why sticky songs are so frustratingly sticky. Earworms, the musical kind, not the real disgusting ones, have an actual scientific label. It's called involuntary musical imagery. According to the first large-scale study of earworms, such songs usually have a faster tempo, Inspector Gadget, a fairly generic and easy-to-remember melody, yes,
okay, yeah,
and specific kinds of intervals, such as leaps or repetition, that sets them apart from your average pop song. Inspector Gadget has all the above. It really does.
It's fitting the profile.
Kind of showy.
Horn solo. Right? That's a little Showtime thing. Some jazz hands almost popped out over here, too.
Well, you actually watched the song. All right. So they have different things that set them apart from your average song. The research dissecting an earworm, melodic features and song popularity predict involuntary musical imagery, was published by the American Psychological Association's journal, blah, 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 mumbo jumbo. The study examined whether a song's popularity and melodic features helped to explain whether it becomes an earworm. Using a data set of tunes that were named by 3,000 survey participants, the study found that songs that had achieved greater success in more recent runs in the music charts were reported more frequently. So it's popular songs, basically, in a nutshell.
Well, there's some that just, I think music can be appreciated for a number of different reasons, but there are some that are just, and I'm doing the air quotes, right, catchy tunes, right, where you just... And
Inspector Gadget is catchy.
Well, apparently the song is catchier than any of the cartoons or episodes that they made. But here's the thing. So if you could build that into the songwriting, if you're John Tesh, let's say, songwriting theory or process, then you had some sort of like supercharge way to like make it popular by just saying, well, if we do this and this, people will be, that sounds real sneaky, but it also sounds like something people would do.
That is interesting. Mm. So it's sabotage. It's like subliminal earworming.
Yeah, well, because it doesn't say it like, hey, you'll be, it's impossible to resist this, you know, listen to this in moderation, you know, or not.
Okay, listen to this. The most likely tunes to get stuck in our heads were those songs with the most common melodic riffs found in Western pop music. Here's a, for instance, a rise in pitch followed by a fall in pitch, as in nursery rhyme tunes like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And then they're saying because of that, Moves Like Jagger by Maroon 5 is an earworm because its opening riff kind of follows that pattern.
Ooh.
Can you pull up Moves Like Jagger? I know, Jasmine, I don't like Maroon 5 either. I think they're a joke.
But they've been successful. And their songs kind of do run a range of styles, right? Where they're able to put stuff out.
They suck.
They've been, but the songs have been popular.
Yeah, that's right?
True. You can't deny that. And but it'd be sneaky to think that they're actually just kind of coming up with it scientifically. You know, they're not. But I don't know how do things happen. You know, I mean, really. But that's just.
I don't know. All right. Oh, I'm sorry, Jazzco. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. That's not. But there is, but the there's up. Adam, you are just lame.
Yeah. Well, whether you like him or not.
It's catchy. I hate to say it.
Yeah, they're doing. Well, and here's the science, too. So you watch a movie, and there's, you know, parts that are supposed to be thought-provoking. There's parts that are supposed to be kind of tear-jerker, right? They pull at your emotional heartstrings. There are places in movies where all of a sudden they get to that sad part, you know, and then they play a certain type of music, a certain type of soundtrack, and you can feel it kind of like, okay, you know, you feel they're trying to elicit some kind of emotion. It's based on how you physically react to that particular little bar, the music, and it's pretty formula, you know, just like they throw in the inspirational, like, let's all get up and excited part when they're going to do a montage of someone training for a big fight.
Like Mufasa when he dies on the Lion King. Oh, when do you never seen the Lion King?
What, because Bill's not here? You think you have to be mean?
No, I just...
You set yourself up to hurt me.
I'm sorry. Oops. Well,
I saw the play, The Lion King. So what happens now?
Well, just in a sad part of the movie when, let's say, someone's going to either die, you know, some kind of emotional part where you're supposed to feel bad. Like the music, the soundtrack makes you feel bad.
Oh, like the sad Brady Bunch music.
I mean, I don't know if that sounds maybe like it was more comical. I don't know, but...
No, it wasn't comical. It was, you know,
where,
like,
you feel like the music matches, and it actually... You can feel that those notes placed in that order, in that way, elicits an emotional response.
I just texted you, Jazz. These are some songs I would like to play, because these are supposedly some of the most... often named earworms, and listeners can jump in with theirs as well. 312-235-2525. I just sent this to Jasmine, so I'm gonna need, let me know when you're ready. And these are some of the songs, because God, I love this song, Bad Romance by the Gogster.
Well, this sounds like some kind of, this is like right out. You could have like an army march into this.
Yeah,
you're like
this
into
should be
battle.
A new Star Wars movie.
I'm just saying,
the Imperial March should be changed to this, because you're right. This is everyone fall in line, follow suit. She's amazing, Jasmine. Do you like her?
Love Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga won me over when she sang. Was it the anthem or something that I didn't know that she was so unbelievably talented. I just thought it was like remixes and,
well, some of those entertainers are, you know, they're more like of a showman, of an entertainer,
yeah.
Right, and she has every bit of that.
She's
built
amazing.
Into her things, but right, she does have some real vocal talent too.
All right, Bad Romance by Lady Gaga is an earworm. And then there's another one which, oddly enough, Bill Leff named one of his daughters after this Kylie Minogue. Seriously, he loved her, loved that name. And I don't know if I know this song. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, up above the sky so bright, like a diamond in the night.
Wow, you're freestyling.
All right, this is Can't Get You Out of My Head. Oh, I know this song.
I mean, these songs are so different and from different eras, but there seems to be like a common theme, you know, like a driving beat kind of thing with like a melodic kind of tone.
They're saying the up and down. Let me go back into that. And mostly the songs most likely to get stuck in our heads were those with most common melodic riffs found in Western pop culture, such as a rise in pitch followed by a fall in pitch. They all have that. Yeah, I do remember this song. Jasmine, you like this too. I can tell by the way you're
this is
grooving. The next song I love, and Jasmine is going to find it. This is something, especially if you're a White Sox fan, and you are, aren't you, Dane?
Sure.
Oh, no, you're kind of a Cubby blue.
Sure. But you know, I don't have some kind of exclusive thing where you can't enjoy, you know, good times, great sports. For the White Sox, that was one of the greatest moments in Chicago sports
history.
It
was.
I remember being super excited about that. It was awesome.
It was pretty great. I understand it was pretty great when the Cubs won, too, and what's happened lately to either side of town.
I don't know. Well, you got a window that's kind of closing, and then you got another one that it's cyclical.
But I think an earworm is going to be like the chorus. When the chorus kicks in, Don't Stop Believin'. Because this isn't something I would allow to be in my head. I love it. I grew up with Journey. That was my high school years. But I think it's the Don't Stop Believin' that would be the actual earworm.
There's a few parts of this song that are really great. Well, Journey was a really great band. Still is. You know, I mean, the music is still super pop. They're on tour. Granted, it's not Steve Perry, but...
Right. Steve Perry is a solo, right? Or is he not doing anything?
He's just not really doing much.
Okay, and the next song... I don't know how to say this artist's name, so I will need
to... It's Gaga.
No, but you enjoyed that, evidently.
Yeah, that's great.
I know this song, and I haven't heard this song in years, and I would like this to be my earworm instead of Inspector Gadget. Do you remember this? Is it Gaudier?
Gaudier.
Oh, a xylophone.
Xylophones are cool. Do you remember this? You'll know it when it kicks in. Now and then I think of when we were together. Again, it's the hook. This is Outer Spatial and Tin Soldier. So when and a lot of stuff.
A little brooding, kind of pouty singing kind of thing going on.
It's coming up, y'all.
Yeah. All right, the music needs to turn. You turn it up a little bit, Jess. There you go. You know it now, right?
Yeah.
But see how it's like going up, coming down. All right, the next one we did, Moves Like Jagger by Maroon 5, which, damn it, I'm probably going to be singing on the way home.
You're trying to resist. You're resisting.
Like Jagger. I got to get Inspector Gadget out of my head. Although it's better than Maroon 5.
Yeah, do you?
Why?
The Inspector Gadget lobby group is probably saying this is fine. It's okay. No, don't.
Okay,
effects.
The next one is by Katy Perry, and I don't know if I know this. It's not a remake of the Beach Boys, California Girls, but Girls spelled with a U, the way it should be spelled. I would not have this as an earworm because I don't think I know it.
Wait till they get to the...
All right, I'd like this as my earworm. I'm okay with this.
Now, it reminds me of, like, there's probably a lot of songs that sound almost just like this. You know, that just kind of have that same sort of, like, beat to them.
Yeah, I guess.
It sounds familiar, but I don't know that I know this song, but it sounds very similar to other songs like it.
All right, well, I was flipping around the radio dial yesterday, and maybe there was some serious radio involved, and I heard the beat begin of pump up the jam, pump it up. And I was like, oh, I haven't heard this song in so long. Why isn't that my earworm? Why, again, is it Inspector Gadget?
Yeah, I got to put something, stuff the suggestion box, I guess, or just get in there. Maybe there's a hotline that can kind of rearrange the earworms for you.
All right, well, that's all I got, and there's a couple more Lady Gaga songs. It's fun to say it, I got to be honest
Lady
with
Gaga.
You.
Lady Gaga.
Alejandro, which I don't know if I know, and Poker Face, which I absolutely love. But I cannot get the rhythm down. Is it Poker Face? Poker Face? I just don't know.
Let's hear.
Which one is this, Alejandro? Oh, Poker Face. Yeah.
See, there you have that whole like...
I got the voice like that for today.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Could do it.
This is so catchy. I love Lady Gaga. I wanna hold them like
they do in Texas, please. It's the same beat though, because with that dun dun dun, you could have done that dun 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 dun. You could have done that with this too.
Poker face. Kim Gordon. We've got to take a break because Kim Gordon is coming up with the news right here on WGN Extra. All right, I just do not want this cold anymore. My furnace is making weird noises. It sounds like it's laboring, so I have to do the yearly check.
Yeah. Get those filters cleaned and
That I changed the filters, but it just sounds like it's laboring. And we're just beginning, people.
It's like, it's telling you, this is too early to work this hard.
Maybe that's it. Maybe just as, you know, we've all kind of been surprised. Even though, you know, you get the forecast and you know it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
When it's the first, when you're used to it being about 50 and you walk out and it's 8.
I know.
It's like, it's whoa. Not fair.
I know. And I was in Las Vegas this weekend where it was 80.
Wow.
And I got in the car last night. My husband was nice enough to pick me up from work so I didn't have to walk home. And I'm like, why are we here again?
I don't, how long does whatever it is, whether it's your history, your childhood, your affinity, your preparation, your tolerance to cold, how long does it last? So Esther's parents lived in Chicago for 40 plus years. They last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. They live in Florida. So when they come back and it's like 50 or 40
your
or something,
blood gets thin.
They're like, oh, it's so cold. And we just always give them a lot of guff, I guess.
Crap.
Right. Saying like, what do you mean? You know, you lived here forever. How can you not take it? But you know what? When it was nice and then it became so cold, I didn't have any kind of, you know, built up tolerance or buffer. I was like, ah, this sucks. It was cold.
Even my son lived in LA for 5 years and he's, you know, 30 and he is just complaining bitterly about
it. He's also
this.
A guy.
Yeah.
Boys are babies.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'll tell you what saved me is that I know everybody has them and they're expensive, but those Canada Goose jackets, they work. I got to tell you, they are so warm.
I'd probably be too warm for me.
Oh, no.
I would get hot flashes in them.
Well, in your car, they can tend to get a little hot, but walking around in this weather,
well, and so, one thing about like the down, too, is that it really, unlike a lot of different situations where you get it, and if it's not the right temperature, you'll either be sweating or you're too cold, is that it allows you to kind of have a nice range. You know, it just kind of breathe. It's just, it's easy. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like super cold for you to be able to tolerate. You can have it. It works.
The sun helps. I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah,
it's cold as hell, and we are breaking a record, so that's good, too, because if we're getting close to a record, I want to break
right.
it or forget
if we,
it.
If we have to endure this, we might as well break a record.
I agree.
For something to talk about, anyway.
The earworms we talked about, What's Hot and What's Cold, that was sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men, and just a very quick few little earworms from the listeners as they've texted us. It's a Small World from Disney.
Yeah.
It is weird when you go to Disney, you start singing that, whether you like it or not.
Or like the Pirates of the Caribbean song. Yo, ho, ho, a pirate's like, I mean,
yeah,
that's...
I love that, yeah.
I like that, too.
There was another one. Now, thanks to you, I have the stupid I'm a Barbie Girl song stuck in my head by Aqua. I didn't even mention that one.
No, no.
That's your own doing, listener.
I like that song, though, I have to say.
And earworms must have started with the Adam West Batman show. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, Batman.
What? Okay, so I know it was recently, I think either a big report came out or a story. I know the morning show was doing something about one-hit wonders. And I wonder...
I heard that.
I wonder on the research side, if there's a way to kind of take some of those that songs that became super, super popular but weren't necessarily tied to a full catalog of successful banding, and find out if there's something about the way that those songs were structured that made those songs, independent of the other work, super popular. Right? Because, you know, the bands weren't necessarily like that. Well, it's not like the Beatles, right? Are they all... some of these, it was like, that's the only song they had.
Well, that is truly a one-hit wonder. That's what a one-hit wonder is supposed to be. But some songs that were coming through on the Cochran show were just like Nancy Sinatra, These Boots Were Made for Walking. She had other hits, believe it or not. There were other bands, too, that had other hits. So a true one-hit wonder is like they did one thing and moved along, like Paper Lace, The Night Chicago Died. I don't think they did anything else.
Or like that song Brandy or...
Looking Glass.
But are you... A one-hit wonder isn't necessarily an earworm, though, is
no,
it?
Two different things.
But you're wondering how, you know, maybe there are some parts, some elements of it that they just happened to hit on something that really stuck with people, maybe because of the structure of the song, where their other songs didn't. You know, it wasn't they were a popular band. It was just this one moment in time the song kind of caught on. I don't know, you know, because you're trying to figure out, we're trying to sort of deconstruct what makes an earworm work, you know.
Just catchy, I mean, I even have a commercial. Like, that Cars for Kids thing gets stuck in my head. I can't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Bill Leff has, Jasmine, do you know which one Bill has? Shall we do it together?
Okay.
1, 2, 3. A beacon of hope. Oh. Bill does it all the time. I don't know this song, and you're going to be irritated with me because I bet you do. I don't have little kids around me, but somebody was talking about the baby shark.
Oh, baby shark.
I don't even know what it is.
It gets in your head.
Well, this could be a Lady Gaga thing, the beat. Da, 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 da.
I just saw her in Las Vegas.
That's it?
No, it goes up to like...
Oh, and then they do Grandpa Shark, Daddy Shark.
Grandpa Shark. There's a whole family.
I like this.
I love it. My granddaughter goes crazy.
Daddy Shark.
How come I've never heard this?
You've never heard this?
I haven't heard it? Oh, my gosh.
Welcome to the...
Do they go into, like, stepsister shark and...
Nah, I don't think they go that far.
Creepy uncle shark. No, they pretty much stop at grandpa. Yeah.
So that's it? They should keep going. That's really cute.
It's very cute.
Why are people bothered by this?
I love it.
Wait till... Like, Wendy will be all frazzled in a week. She's like, I can't get it out of my head.
But I guess you can get too much of a good thing. I mean, you know, my granddaughter has it, like, in a book, in a stuffed animal. And, you know, when you're hearing it all day, you might want to drive your... It might drive you a little crazy.
It's a lot like the, you know, 19-cent ramen in college. Like, it seemed like it was amazing and so cheap and wonderful. And then after a long while, you just can't do it anymore.
I enjoy it. I'm going to listen to it on the way home. I do have some news for you, and this may be a tiny bit old. I need to know if it's out yet. Do you remember last year Sprite came up with the cranberry Sprite?
Yeah, was that last year
Maybe it was 2 years ago, because I know there was a shortage of it, and you could find it on Amazon, and it was like, I don't know, $50 for a case. And I was this close to ordering it because I love cranberry, and now they're not offering it this year. Wouldn't you think if that's something
right
a la the Popeye's chicken sandwich that people were clamoring for, wouldn't they bring it back?
You would think.
They didn't. But now Coca-Cola has a cinnamon Coca-Cola.
Ew.
Are you aware of this?
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
I love cinnamon.
I don't think I could do that.
I do not like pumpkin spiced stuff.
I do. I like anything pumpkin.
Would you like a pumpkin spiced Coke?
No.
Yeah, that's just bad. But the soft drink company was supposed to launch a version of its Coca-Cola iconic flavored drink with cinnamon back in September. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
I haven't seen it, but you know, the whole cinnamon thing is kind of, you know, like Fireball on the whiskey side, and so where you can have. I could see how that
needs to be a gentle cinnamon, though, not like
maybe
a Fireball. Come on.
Maybe. Well, I'm just saying, just adding like a cinnamon kind of thing to it, and I could see people doing that. You wonder how these things happen. You know, the big boardroom somewhere, and there's a having a big decision. They're all going to cost money, and is it going to work? Is it going to not work? And unless it's just like, oh, let's do everything we can think of, because some of these are kind of stretchy. You know, they're like, well, because I think on the Coke side, it's not broken, don't fix it. Aren't they selling plenty of Coke, regular flavor?
Oh, my God. They have cherry Coke. They have vanilla
they
Coke.
Have they too have many Cokes.
Lime Coke. They have all those different flavors now.
And on the cranberry side, they have, I think, a Diet 7-Up.
Cherry, I
hate cherry-flavored stuff.
Me too. Fake cherry. Except for cherry worst. Lifesavers. I do like those. And Luden's cough drops.
Luden's cough drops were pretty great. Smith Brothers cherry were pretty good,
too. Oh, my God, when I was sick, I would, you know, eat a whole box in 5 minutes.
I will tell you, I don't know if you remember, was it the Smith Brothers? No.
Yeah?
They were kind of like a jujube. They were kind of like
gummy.
Yes, they
were a little disc. Weren't they? Like, ooh. They were shaped like a little disc? Like those
Pine Brothers, I thought, were like an oblong, like oval, and they were kind of like a jujube where it was kind of chewy but not soft. Like,
wasn't there a licorice flavor? I feel
those
like
are
my grand.
There was Pine Brothers and there was some other brother.
Is this candy or cough drop?
Cough drop.
Cough drop.
Because when you were
that,
kids,
when you're a kid,
that's
that
all
was
you
like
got.
Candy.
I know. Could I have a sucrete, please?
Yeah.
I mean, really, we didn't get candy much when we were growing up. Kim and I are older than you.
You get the candy. So then you guys just go in for the cough drops.
Oh, well, you know, if you're sick, you can. It tasted like candy. And then your parents would let you eat as many of them as you wanted because you were sick.
And you guys as parents too, we had a teachable moment with the cough drop side of things. So Maxwell, he had these cough drops. They were like lemon. And it was some sort of sale where you get a whole bunch, right? So we had some. He was eating them. And I'm like, don't eat all the cough drops because then when you really need them, you won't have them. So lo and behold, fast forward, he's got a terrible, my sore throat. I'm like, well, if you didn't eat all the cough drops, there'd be some for you now. I said, this, Maxwell, is a teachable moment that you should know.
Did you say that to
him? Exactly
like
what I said. Exactly what I said. You should know. Don't eat all the cough drops when you don't need them because then when you need them, you won't have them. He goes, here's a teachable moment. I think the teachable moment is that you should just buy more cough drops.
Right. I agree with them.
That's what he said.
How old is he?
I was like, touche, salesman. Yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree with him because you sounded like old school parent. He sounded like new school kid.
Right. Yeah. He's just like, yeah, I got a problem.
Just, you know, that's how all kids are. Well, Amazon can just bring it tomorrow.
Yep.
There was Smith Brothers cough drops.
It had like two old men on it with a beard, right? Was that their logo?
Was that Bartles and James?
And they were black cough drops. I have a cough, so I should be having them.
I feel like
them.
They were licorice, because my grandfather loved licorice, and he would eat those.
Those were the Smith Brothers. Now, the Pine Brothers, I just want it to be known that I said it was the original gummy. Because somebody is a pinebrothers.com, the original gummy. They were like more than a gummy. They were like a jujube. And they were, you'd bite into them, but you know how like you had a juicy fruit or juji fruit, which was like a chuckle. It was kind of soft licorice in various flavors.
Yeah.
That was juji fruit. A jujube was like
a
stick to your tooth.
Right.
That's what these Pine
like
Brothers.
Like a dot. Too.
Yeah, kind of like that. So Pine Brothers, I wish they still made them. Those were very good. Smith Brothers, what was it with the brothers that always came up with the cough drops? Did you have to be a brother? How come there are no sister cough drops?
I don't know, but that's important. Did they work that into the commercials?
I guarantee you there were sisters behind the brother success.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Hey, bro, you got a cold, huh? Yeah, bro.
And while we're here, I was going to save this for Bill tomorrow, but we have time to do it today. The Chicago Tribune put together a list of foods that are making a comeback. They are retro foods that are making a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the cheese ball. The cheese ball was something my mom would always make.
I love a good cheese ball.
But it went away for a while. My mom would always, that would be like her go-to thing for the holidays. She would bring it and I would be like,
a ball of cheese with like shaved like almonds or something.
Like
pecans
around
to it.
Okay. And you used to be able to buy them. Do you remember Hickory Farms?
Yes.
You could buy them at Hickory Farms and they were like the port wine cheese balls or something. Do you remember that?
Yes. But these cheese balls are making a comeback that is now going to be on menus at holiday parties. We grew up on these. I never really liked them, but you had to have them because they were very popular. The Fluffer Nutter.
Oh, peanut butter marshmallow?
Peanut butter and marshmallow fluff. And these are now coming back. One of the Fluffernutter is believed to have been created by Paul Revere's great great granddaughter Emma Curtis during World War One.
George Washington's troops, they survived on it. Without the Fluffernutter, this country wouldn't even exist.
It was during World War One after she shared a recipe for a peanut butter and marshmallow cream sandwich. At the time, people were encouraged to forego meat once a week to support the troops. The sandwich became an instant hit in the early 20th century and has captivated the taste buds of children for decades.
Hey, I'm all for it. I'm an adult.
It is too sweet.
Oh, really? Oh, I love peanut butter.
But with the fluff.
I like
peanut butter
and
grape jelly is much better.
Like, what if you put that Fluffernutter on a s'mores? Come on. How good would that be?
Well, then you wouldn't have to melt the. That would be good. Ambrosia salad. Do you remember that?
Yes. I love that. Anything with coconut.
It was coconut and marshmallows.
Oh,
it was the sweetest thing.
Fruit?
Yes, like fruit cocktail
fruit.
Oh,
yeah, it was so good.
It wasn't even like
Mandarin
real
oranges.
No, right.
Is that the one with like the...
Like and maraschino cherries and yeah.
Here's what it had. Typically made with sour cream, whipped cream, canned mandarin oranges, canned pineapples, maraschino cherries, coconut flakes, crushed nuts, mini marshmallows.
How could that be bad?
It just sounds...
I think I've seen it at the Jewel, like at the deli.
Yeah,
you can get it.
Yeah, you can buy it in
it's
that little
Hawaiian
mold.
It's called Hawaiian salad.
Yeah.
This is the best thing that was ever invented. It went away for a while. Every Super Bowl, even though I could give a rat's butt as to who's playing, I get crescent dough and Little Smokies and I make my
okay,
own.
Okay, I was just going to tell
pigs
you
pigs in a blanket.
In Las Vegas, we were just at this new like shishi deli. And that was an appetizer you could order.
The pigs in a blanket?
Pigs in a blanket. And my kids got them because
they're
they
awesome.
Love them and they destroyed them.
That sounds, it actually sounds kind of good. I'm thinking I could probably do that.
Oh my God.
I think I may work up some pigs in a blanket a little bit later on today.
Yes. Just get the crescent
and roll them the little hot dogs.
Yeah.
And then when you explode the can, you know, the crescent rolls come in little triangles. Just kind of rip off what you need.
I just cut them into strips. And then,
take
a little triangle and then cut them into strips. Some have a little more dough around them than others when you do that, but some people like it a little more doughy, some don't.
I just rip it with my hands.
Oh,
You're a better chef than I am. But the Little Smokies are the way to go. They're also good with miniature Vienna beef hot dogs,
That's what I use them with, the little Vienna beef hot dogs.
You know what? I've been using the Little Smokies for a while. I think I'm going to look for the
L-I-L.
Mini.
L-I-L. Yep.
Yes. I'm going to look for the Vienna beefs.
It's with the hot dogs.
Might have that tonight too, Dave.
Yeah, they're both good, and I think either or is not really what you have to think about. Just think and
right.
And okay, then what do you dip them in? Anything? You
mustard,
just, mustard and ketchup,
okay. Or you could do sweet and sour sauce.
Yeah, or even like a grape kind of reduction.
The grape jelly barbecue sauce concoction or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But typically, when you do those little sausages or little wieners. If it were, as it were, whatever, I'm sick. You put it in a crock pot with grape jelly and something else, right?
I don't know. I was just going to, because they're all pre-cooked, you know, the Viennas or the Little Smokies.
You just
got to
warm them up. Barbecue sauce.
Little
Isn't
smoke.
It that goes with that grape jelly?
Yeah,
I think you're right. Or maybe a can of Coke. It's some weird
there
thing there.
There is a weird concoction. I also do like a baked salami. Have you ever done that?
No.
Ooh, it's great. You take Dijon mustard and apricot jelly, mix it up, and then you take a big kosher salami, one of the big ones, and you slice it thin, like Hasselback style, you know, where you cut little, don't cut all the way
like
through,
grooves
and
in
then
it
opens
yes.
like an accordion,
yes.
and then you pour that over the top and you bake it on 350 for like, I don't know, an hour or so, and you baste it, and then the salami and everything gets real like crispy and caramelized on the top, and it's hot.
Oh, that sounds really good.
And
then you just rip off the pieces.
Well, then, like when you serve it with a crowd, I just put out like a knife and fork and let people cut their own. And
do you put it on a wafertheen cracker, or do you like?
No,
little...
people just eat it without.
Oh, you just
nothing.
Wafertheen.
Yeah. Yes. No.
Just one.
Just
more.
Just plain.
Please, sir.
No bread.
Jell-O molds are back. I've talked about my Auntie Mary's Jell-O, and I'm going to be making it, or someone is going to be making it as one of the dishes on our Thanksgiving
What's
table.
Hers? I love Jell-O.
It is this crazy concoction of raspberry Jell-O, and it's raspberry, pecans, crushed pineapple mixed on the bottom. So it's the gelatinous Jell-O, and then the top half you mix with sour cream, so it looks like a little pinker. you know, mm-hmm. fluffier, kind of a Pepto-Bismol color. And that goes over the top. And it is just so good. I know people go, oh, a Jell-O mold. Auntie Mary's Jell-O is what we call it in the family.
We have two famous ones our family, too. We have one called pretzel Jell-O. Have you ever had the one with the pretzel crust with the strawberry and the whipped cream? Oh, that's amazing. And then my mother-in-law made something similar, but hers was made with dark cherries. And then it had cherry Jell-O and then sour cream on top and nuts.
So the same concept, just different ingredients.
It was just.
Because also there's pineapple and a bag of frozen raspberries. And it's so funny. My cousin made this. This is such a great idea that you can steal from my cousin. She made a family cookbook and did our heritage. My grandmother had five sisters, so six total. They were all Italian. They all had their different spaghetti sauce by one ingredient. One used red wine, one used whiskey. So my cousin put together all their spaghetti sauce recipes and a little history of who they married and what part of Italy they came from. And Auntie Mary's Jell-O is in there. But it's so funny. These recipes were taken from the recipe boxes of our great aunts and relatives. And the measurements, there was none. It's like, you know,
use a
small box of Jell-O. Well, how many ounces? Because Jell-O has changed tremendously. A medium bag of frozen raspberries. How many ounces? Nobody did it. So we're all trying to perfect Auntie Mary's Jell-O, and every year it's too runny. So every year we try something different, but we're going to figure it out one of these years. It still tastes good, but it's not. It used to be just it would hold itself up.
If it's too runny, just back off on some of the water.
Yeah,
you're adding to the Jell-O,
but also it was like use the juice from the raspberries. Like I don't know if we should because it's making it, and then the spaghetti sauce. It's like a pinch of cinnamon. Well, how much is a pinch? Or put almost a cup of sugar. Well, more or less. Right. You know, it's just they. I think they didn't want each other to steal each other's recipes.
Well, they were holding back a little bit.
I think that's
close
what it
was. To the vest.
All right. Well, those are the retro things coming back. Jell-O molds, very satisfying. And yes, it's a summer thing, but it will be on our Thanksgiving table this year.
I think Jell-O's all year round.
There's always room for Jell-O.
Always.
All right. Thank you for hanging out, Kim. Bill's coming back tomorrow. He's not been sick. I'm the one who's been sick and has come into work. But no, Bill has just had some vacation days to use up. He's fine. He'll be back tomorrow. Dane, thank you so much for sitting in for him.
No, thanks for having me. It's been great.
We'll take a break, and I'll officially thank you when we come back here on WGN.
Good night.
Wonderful time. I know you're too young to remember Lawrence Welk. Wonderful, wonderful. That's the worst Lawrence Welk I've ever heard or done.
Is there like a contest like Lawrence Welk soundalikes? Or is there a market for a Lawrence Welk impersonator? Because maybe with a whittle, just a little bit of Lawrence Welk fine-tuning.
A little bit?
Just a little bit. You could be the best.
All right, well, maybe. Thank you for sitting in. Enjoy your wiener wraps tonight.
I'm going to
And the hors d'oeuvres you're making.
I'm going to wrap up so many of the little smokies.
Well, it's cold out. And I'm sorry about the little smokies.
Up here when he had mentioned that sometimes the rest of the family isn't as excited, and I see that as in the category of more for me.
I love those things, man. So have a good night. May your little smoky always be covered. And keep yourself warm because we're going to break a record. Coldest day, coldest high, the lowest high. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Just aim high for the low.
I like it. Let's end with that. All right. Thank you, Dane. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time. See ya.
See ya.
Good night. Sleep tight. And pleasant dreams to you. Here's a wish.
great Midwest from Chicago. This is WGN at AM 720 on your radio and on smart devices anywhere just by saying play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
WGN Chicago.
A Nexstar Media Group station.